Next, let us read from Satis Cognitum, Encyclical of Pope Leo XIII, June 29, 1896. Glacius on the decree of council says, "That which the first see has not approved of cannot stand, but what it has thought well to decree has been received by the whole church," unquote, from this part of Satis Cognitum. As far as I know, the first see has not approved of any episcopal consecration coming from Archbishop Lefebvre or Archbishop Thuc since 1958. On the contrary, the first see has thought well to decree that no bishop has permission to consecrate another bishop without a papal mandate. See Ad Apostolorum Principis of Pope Pius XII. Therefore, this decree of the first see, that no bishop has permission to consecrate another bishop without a papal mandate, has been received by the whole church. However, it has not been received by the sects coming from Archbishop Lefebvre and Archbishop Thuc. Please answer question number 10. Do you believe it follows in logic that the sects coming from Archbishop Lefebvre and Archbishop Thuc are not members of the Catholic Church? Let us hear Jesus Christ speak to us again in Satis Cognitum. Indeed, Holy Writ attests that the keys of the kingdom of heaven were given to Peter alone, and that the power of binding and loosing was granted to the apostles and to Peter. But there is nothing to show that the apostles received supreme power without Peter and against Peter. Such power they certainly did not receive from Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in the decree of the Vatican Council as to the nature and authority of the primacy of the Roman Pontiff, no newly conceived opinion is set forth, but the venerable and constant belief of every age. Unquote from this part of Satis Cognitum. Bishop Rosales stated, quote, "This doctrinal decree of the Vatican Council is also affirmed in the encyclical letter of Pope Leo XIII, Satis Cognitum, 1896, likewise by the Code of Canon Law, number 329, part 1, unquote. Note well that Bishop Rosales teaches that the papal theory is a false theory and an erroneous opinion on the grounds of what it says in the decree of the Vatican Council as affirmed in Satis Cognitum. Pope Leo XIII, in explaining the papal theory, just taught us what the dogmatic decree of the Vatican Council really means, namely, quote, "No newly conceived opinion is set forth, but the venerable and constant belief of every age," unquote. What is this venerable and constant belief of every age that Pope Leo XIII says the dogmatic decree of the Vatican Council teaches? Let Pope Leo XIII tell us, quote, "But there is nothing to show that the apostles received supreme power without Peter and against Peter. Such power they certainly did not receive from Jesus Christ," unquote. Please answer question number 11. Do you agree that Pope Leo XIII teaches that bishops certainly did not receive the power of jurisdiction directly from Jesus Christ without Peter and against Peter? Let us read more from Satis Cognitum by Pope Leo XIII. Nor does it beget any confusion in the administration that Christians are bound to obey a twofold authority. We are prohibited in the first place by divine wisdom from entertaining any such thought, since this form of government was constituted by the counsel of God Himself. In the second place, we must note that the due order of things and their mutual relations are disturbed if there be a twofold magistrate of the same rank set over a people, neither which is amendable to the other. But the authority of the Roman Pontiff is supreme, universal, independent, that of the bishops limited and dependent. Bishop Rosales and his followers believe the Roman Pontiff is the vicar of Jesus Christ and the Supreme Pontiff is Jesus Christ Himself. However, Pope Leo XIII teaches that bishops certainly did not receive the power of jurisdiction directly from Jesus Christ, independent of its supervision and authorization by St. Peter. Please answer question number 12. Do you agree that Pope Leo XIII gives the true teaching of the Catholic Church? Please answer question number 13. Does Pope Leo XIII clearly teach that the authority of every bishop is entirely dependent on a pope, and therefore no bishop can obtain authority, jurisdiction, or a mission without a legitimate pope? Please answer question number 14. Do you agree that no bishop in the lines of succession of Archbishop Lefebvre or Archbishop Thuc or the Novus Ordo bishops since 1958 ever received authority, jurisdiction, or admission from a legitimate pope? Listen to Pope Leo XIII as we again read from Satis Cognitum. It is necessary, therefore, to bear this in mind, namely, that nothing was conferred on the apostles apart from Peter, but that several things were conferred upon Peter apart from the apostles. St. John Chrysostom, in explaining the words of Christ, asks, why, passing over the others, does he speak to Peter about these things? And he replies unhesitatingly and at once, because he was preeminent among the apostles, the mouthpiece of the disciples, and the head of the college. He alone was designated as the foundation of the church. To him he gave the power of binding and loosing. To him alone was given the power of feeding. On the other hand, whatever authority and office the apostles received, they received in conjunction with Peter. If the divine benignity willed anything to be in common between him and the other princes, whatever he did not deny to the others, he gave only through him, so that whereas Peter alone received many things, he conferred nothing on any of the rest without Peter participating in it. From this, it must be clearly understood that bishops are deprived of the right and power of ruling if they deliberately succeed from Peter and his successors, because by this succession they are separated from the foundation on which the whole edifice must rest. They are, therefore, outside the edifice itself, and for this very reason they are separated from the fold, whose leader is the chief pastor. They are exiled from the kingdom, the keys of which were given by Christ to Peter alone. Unquote. Please pay attention to the true teaching of the Catholic Church. Quote, it is necessary, therefore, to bear this in mind, namely that nothing was conferred on the apostles apart from Peter. On the other hand, whatever authority and office the apostles received, they received in conjunction with Peter. Whatever he did not deny to the others, he gave only through him. Unquote. Nothing includes no jurisdiction, their fullness of power. Please answer question number 15. Does it seem to you to be at least material heresy then for Bishop Rizalis to write, quote, the Church teaches that bishops receive their fullness of power immediately, directly from the Holy Ghost? Unquote. Please answer question number 16. Do you agree that Bishop Rizalis is teaching the opposite of Pope Leo XIII? Let us continue by hearing the eternal truth through the voice of Pope Pius XI when he wrote in Mortalium Animos. It follows then that the Church of Christ not only exists today and always, but is also exactly the same as it was in the time of the apostles, unless we were to say, which God forbid, either that Christ our Lord could not effect his purpose, or that he erred when he asserted that the gates of hell should never prevail against it," unquote, from Metallium Animos. Thus, in the first place, Pope Leo XIII makes it very obvious, evident, and understandable that in the time of the apostles, the keys were given by Christ to Peter alone. And in the second place, Pope Pius XI makes it very obvious, evident, and understandable that the Church of Christ is exactly the same as it was in the time of the apostles. Please answer question number 17. If the keys were given to Peter alone by Jesus Christ, do you agree that Catholics cannot truthfully teach that bishops automatically receive ordinary jurisdiction directly and immediately from the Holy Ghost when they are consecrated? Remember, A. Jesus Christ gave the keys, jurisdiction, to Peter alone. B. Therefore, it is Peter alone who holds the keys. C. It logically follows that since Peter alone received the keys, it is he alone who still holds the keys. D. In accordance with the standard axiom of both philosophy and law, nemo dat quod non habet, no one can give what he does not have. It is only Peter who can give the keys. E. Therefore, it is erroneous to teach that bishops receive their fullness of power immediately, directly, from the Holy Ghost. Please answer question number 18. Is my conclusion stated in E the truth? Please answer question number 19. Is it a doctrine of faith that all authority and jurisdiction which every Catholic bishop receives can be received only in conjunction with Peter? Please consider carefully, deliberate upon, and ponder over this section of the book, The Pillar and Ground of the Truth, by Father Thomas Cox, Imprimatur and Copyright, 1900, quoting now from page 173. Those who invent doctrines unheard of before are not the successors of the apostles. Novelty and error are children of the same father, the father of lies. Those who have lost the line of valid ministers leading back to apostolic times cannot plead the possession of apostolicity. Where there is no ordination, no priesthood, no authority, no power, apostolicity is out of the question. Even if valid orders exist, where jurisdiction is lacking, there is no real apostolicity. Schism, as well as heresy, destroys apostolic succession. Unquote from this part of The Pillar and Ground of the Truth. Please answer question number 20. Do you agree that no sect can carry on the apostolicity of the Catholic Church whose bishops have never had authority, jurisdiction, and mission in the Catholic Church? Please answer question number 21. Must every Catholic believe that if Jesus Christ gives jurisdiction to bishops, they receive it only through St. Peter and his lawful successors? Please review again the words of Pope Pius XII in Ad Apostolorum Principis, quote, "Bishops who have been neither named nor confirmed by the Apostolic See enjoy no powers of teaching or of jurisdiction, since jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman Pontiff." Unquote of Pope Pius XII. Since he conferred nothing on any of the rest without Peter participating in it, as we have seen in Pope Leo XIII's Satis Cognitum, no bishop receives authority or jurisdiction or mission without St. Peter and his lawful successors participating in it. Without jurisdiction, they do not have the fourth mark of the Catholic Church, apostolicity. Without apostolicity, the sect is a non-Catholic religion. Now, it is an extremely serious thing to consider, since Canon 1258 states, "It is unlawful for the faithful to assist in any active manner or to take part in the sacred services of non-Catholics." Please answer question number 22. Therefore, do you believe that it follows, as a teaching of the Catholic Church, that no one should be going to Mass or taking part in the services of these non-Catholic sects, where neither their bishops nor priests have ever received ordinary and delegated jurisdiction? Let us read more from Satis Cognitum by Pope Leo XIII. There is no reason to doubt that all those who by divine grace and mercy have had the happiness to have been born, as it were, in the bosom of the Catholic Church, and to have lived in it, will listen to our apostolic voice, "My sheep hear my voice," John chapter 10, verse 27, and that they will derive from our words fuller instruction, unquote from Satis Cognitum. Please answer question number 23. Do you believe that the apostolic voice of Pope Leo XIII teaches that Catholic bishops receive jurisdiction only through Peter? Please answer question number 24. Will you listen to Pope Leo XIII's apostolic voice and regulate your beliefs according to what the popes have taught? Pope Pius IX will now instruct us in Quatris Supra. However, it has never been possible to prove oneself a Catholic by affirming those statements of the faith which one accepts and keeping silence on those doctrines which one decides not to profess. But without exception, all doctrines which the Church proposes must be accepted, as the history of the Church at all times bears witness. For any man to be able to prove his Catholic faith and affirm that he is truly a Catholic, he must be able to convince the Apostolic See of this, for this See is predominant, and with it the faithful of the whole Church should agree. Unquote from Quatris Supra. Every Catholic must believe, quote, "all doctrines which the Church proposes must be accepted," unquote. Now, consider these three definite facts that are relevant. Number one, not a single one of the bishops consecrated in the lines of succession of the Novus Ordo sect, Archbishop Lefebvre or Archbishop Thuc since 1958, has been named or confirmed by the Apostolic See. Point two, a doctrine that the Church proposes, which must be accepted, is, quote, that bishops who have been neither named nor confirmed by the Apostolic See, but who, on the contrary, have been elected and consecrated in defiance of its express orders, enjoy no powers of teaching or of jurisdiction, since jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman Pontiff, unquote from Pope Pius XII's Ad Apostolorum Principis. Point three, another doctrine that the Church proposes which must be accepted is, quote, even if valid orders exist, where jurisdiction is lacking, there is no real apostolicity, unquote from the Pillar and Ground of the Truth by Father Thomas Cox, is quoted above. Please answer question number 25. Do you agree with all the doctrines the Church proposes? Please answer question number 26. Do you agree that he or she will never convince the Apostolic See that they are truly Catholic if they do not consent to what the popes officially, formally, and authoritatively have expounded in encyclical letters?